I've been on the subject for the last several weeks on praise. Went from praise to thanksgiving. Started on worship, and we've had to have a break for a week or so. I do want to kind of go over to the point where we left off. I'm not going to get into detail, but just a glance at where we've been on the subject of worship. Worship is our response to and acknowledging to the Father His holiness. That's what worship is all about. It's not a question about whether or not we're going to worship. What the question's about is what we're going to worship. And the scripture told us in Exodus 23, 24, and 25, "Do not bow your heads before their gods and worship them or follow their practices. You must demolish them and break their sacred stones to pieces." Listen to this closely. Worship the Lord your God. All right, now this is when we worship. Worship the Lord your God, and His blessing will be on your food and your water. Now listen, if we're ever in a day where we probably ought to have some blessing on our food and our water, today would probably be the day. Amen? You know, when you go to a restaurant, you think you know what they're doing back there. I'm sorry. Everybody be eating at home the rest of the week. Frankie's done told me about floors he's put in places, and I'm like, can't go there no more. He didn't get explicit. He just said he wasn't eating there. I'm joining him. I don't need to know why. I'm smarter than that. If he tells me he ain't eating there, Butch ain't eating there. He also says, not only will His blessing be on our food and our water, but He says, I will take away sickness from among you. That is, as we worship the Lord. The Bible says, and people say, oh, He said He'd meet your needs, but He wouldn't give you your wants. Well, that's not true either. He said, if we would delight ourselves in Him, which I consider to be worship, then He would give me the desires of my heart. We all desire to be healthy, don't we? We all desire blessing be on our food and our water. Amen. So I don't know about you, but I think as I see that, worship is very important. Worship means to adore reverently, to feel deep devoted love for, to regard with respect and with great awe and devotion. I then went over several Hebrew and Greek words for worship. We don't need to get into all of that. But, Carla, you not feeling well, baby? Reach your hands this way. I want to pray for her real quick. That thing's going to go before you leave here today, okay? So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I speak to that, whatever it is that's come on her, and I rebuke it in Jesus' name and tell that thing to go. It does not have the authority to be in her body. We curse it at its root in Jesus' name. It doesn't have the authority to be there. We tell that thing to be gone right now. Now, fever, sickness, whatever it is that's come on her, we just tell that thing to go right now. That all the symptoms that have come with this thing that's tried to attach itself to her, every bit of it leaves right now in Jesus' name. And before she leaves this place today, she's going to look over and say, Dad, I'm feeling better. That thing is gone. Well, Father, we know that by the stripes Jesus took to His back, that she's healed, and that You're able and capable to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. And we call that thing done right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. When we worship, we reverence God, which means that we are giving Him respect. That we give ourselves to Him totally. We can, and really, we need to know who He is, because we can only worship Him to the degree that we know Him, right? We have to trust in Him totally. He needs to be the center of our lives, have full security in. That's what all of that means. We need to adore Him, love Him. And, you know, we say that He's the center of our lives, but if He's the center of our lives, then we would consult Him in everything that we did, right? I mean, you know, obviously you don't have to consult him to say, what clothes should I wear today, Lord? I mean, he gave you sense enough to pick out your clothes, right? And, you know, there's some things that, but, you know, when you're making decisions in your life, what you're going to do, where you're going to go, you know, how you're going to get there, all of those things, we should consult him. And he should be a part of everything that we do. Worship really is, I got into this a couple weeks ago, is more than a song. Worship is our lives. Worship is a heart attitude. That's what worship is. You can worship God in song, but you don't have to have music. And you don't have to have a song. You can worship God anytime, anywhere, just right where you are. It's just being aware and knowing and revering and honoring him wherever it is you are. And that's an act of worship. You know, it's an act of worship when we give our tithe and our offering. I don't know if you understand that or not, but we're worshiping him with what he's given us. And sometimes we're going, oh, well, here goes nothing. And throw it in there and we go, I know this is what I'm supposed to do, Lord, but, you know, hey, Lord knows I need it. But here you go, because you said you would, right? But no, it should be an act of worship. We should be, our attitude should be, and we confess these things over it, and that's all great. But when we're confessing those things, our heart needs to be there with what we're confessing. And that needs to be our attitude. He says that every person should give what you've decided in your heart that you're going to give. And that you should do it cheerfully because he loves a cheerful giver. And if you can't do it that way, you need to reconsider what your attitude is towards that particular area. Our giving, whatever it is that we give, is an act of our worship too, that we should be doing with a pure heart. Worship is respect for God and ministering unto him, to pour out our love and adoration before him. A hard attitude of humility. And a hard attitude of humility is simply doing what it is that God's told us to do. Whatever his word says, then do it. Not to be hearers of the word only, but to be doers of the word. I gave you several scriptures. Actually, I gave you 3 pages of scriptures. I'm not going to do that today. I do have those scriptures if anybody wants them that all pertain to worship. I can make copies and give those to you. Because it talks about the different ways to worship, how we're to worship, what we're to worship about. But I'm going to read a few to you this morning. Psalm 66:4 says, all the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Psalm 95:6, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord and our Maker. One of the ways that we worship God is we can kneel. One of the ways that we can worship God is to stand with your hands upright. One of the ways that you can worship God is to lay on your face. You can worship God any way you want to. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. I grew up in a denomination where I think we did more of our worshiping. I don't know if the beauty of his holiness ever really entered in. Women didn't cut their hair. They wore dresses. They couldn't wear makeup, and they couldn't wear jewelry except a wedding band only. And they can't be involved in church. Oh, they can raise the money and build the church, and they can teach your kids. But what gets beyond that, they can't be behind the pulpit, and they can't minister to the men and women of God, and all that. Which, by the way, is nowhere in the book. And if you've been taught that, we need to go through what you've been taught again so that you can get a better understanding, because that is not what the book says. And now we all have our preferences, right? But I've learned that it doesn't matter who's preaching and what it is that they're preaching. I've learned to spit out the bones. I've learned that some people's style are more to my liking than other people's style. But I've also learned that there's nobody that I can't learn something from, even if it is what not to do, right? I've tried to change my attitude about whether or not I get excited about somebody that's going to come and share the word. Or, you know, I've noticed that sometimes I might go in with a poor attitude, and then God will just come in and take over that place, and you know, all that attitude just kind of goes away, which, you know, if I'd have come in there with expectation, how much more might have happened in my life? In other words, if I had an attitude of worship when I came into the place and not go, oh, well, that one's not my favorite. Well, you know, I've got styles that I like and I got styles that I don't like. You know, my dad yelled at me a lot when I was growing up. So really, if you want to preach at me and you want me to get it, don't yell at me. Just talk to me normal. Now Kim grew up in that denomination, unless they were slobbering and bless God and doing all that stuff, they wasn't even anointed. Yeah, bobby pins got to be going. Sister Chicken Walk coming down the aisle. You know, unless you had that kind of service, it wasn't God. And but that's just the differences of what we grew up with, right? And we have to see through all of that, because you know what? When all that stuff goes away, what really happened? And that's what it's all about. See, God sees all that outward stuff, but you know, he's not paying attention to the outward stuff. If the outward stuff's going on, that's fine. But what he's looking at the entire time, regardless of what we're doing, is what's in there. That's how you worship God. It's that connection, you know, to the Father, and having that relationship where you want to just love on him like that. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. You know, so if you're given to the Lord glory and strength, worship the Lord in the beautiness of his, the beauty of his holiness once again. Psalm 96:9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. And then I gave you several New Testament scriptures where it talked about worship. But the one that I want to concentrate on this morning kind of gets us back to where we're headed, and the subject that I want to discuss today is the Gospel of John, chapter 4. And if you'll turn there with me, Gospel of John, chapter 4. And let's go to John 4:22. Dylan taught me this neat little trick on this that as long as I've had this iPad and this Bible on the iPad, I didn't know it. But you can push your finger on it, and as long as you hold the finger down, it'll ring up to those verses. So where I've been flipping through like that, all you got to do is put your finger on the screen, and it rolls around that verse and let go, it's there. I'm like, he was doing that while Pastor Callahan was preaching. I go, man, that's cool. I didn't know it did that. I need me a techie to read the directions. Jesus meets the woman at the well. She's a Samaritan. The Jews considered Samaritans dogs. You need to know the history behind that. The reason that the Jews considered the Samaritans dogs was because when the Jews were taken into exile, they left the lower class people, or what they considered to be the lower class or the bottom echelon of those people there, the poorest of the poor, to stay there and to take care of the land. Well, those people intermarried with some of the other people that had come in and brought them into exile that was overseeing them. And then when the Jews came back in after the exile, they considered those people to be dogs. But she thought it was amazing that Jesus, a Jew, would stop by and even talk to her, because he would be made unclean to even go and talk to that woman, because if she's a dog, she's considered unclean. But he goes to the well, and you remember the story. He didn't just go to the well. He read her mail while he was there. And in verse 22, it says, ye worship what ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now listen, that speaks a lot to us. First of all, God made us in His image. All right? And what He meant by that when He's saying that He made us in His image is that He made us like Him. And He is a spirit. And so we are a spirit. And as we're in this life that we're in right now, we have a spirit, which is what is our connection to God. We have our soul man, which is our feeler, thinker, chooser. Okay, your mind, will, intellect, right? The emotional center of your life. And then we have this body. But God is a spirit. And if we're going to be a true worshiper, we have to worship Him from my spirit. Did you notice He didn't say, worship Him from my head? My mind, my will, my intellect? It doesn't matter what my emotions are. Doesn't matter how I feel. I'm to worship Him from my spirit. Which is why when I was talking to you about praise today, you know what? We start, every one of us came here in the flesh today. Oh, our spirit's with us. Spirit's in us. We are spirit, but we came in this place in our flesh. And sometimes you have to stir up the flesh, literally, to get in focus, to kind of bring it into submission to do what the Spirit's wanting to do. Oh, yeah, our head's telling us we may not feel like it. Our head go, well, it'd be kind of hypocritical to go in there and start praising God after I've done yelled at the family all the way to church and we got in a fight this morning and blah, 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 blah. No, no. Where do you see that in the Word? The Word says that we're to enter into His courts with what? Praise. Hey, give Him praise. He inhabits the praises of His people. So we have to stir that thing up. We have to come in. Sometimes we have to bring the body into subjection. And sometimes the place that we start, we may not have felt like it. And people go, oh, that's just the flesh acting out. Everybody started in the flesh. There ain't no angels in here today, are you? I know y'all. All right? There ain't no angels in here. Hey, every one of us are saints, right? We're the saints. Most people don't know that, but we are. We're the saints of God. But we ain't angels, right? And so when we come in here, we need to stir ourselves up. We need to bring that body into subjection. And remember, we have to show forth the praises of God. That isn't something we can do quietly in our heart like we can with worship. We have to show forth, which means sometimes we have to get our body into doing things that maybe we didn't feel like doing. And then when you do that, then you get the Spirit involved, right? And when you get the Spirit involved, then you can enter into the throne room of God, to that holy place. And you can get where it is that God wants you to get, where you can receive, and that Spirit is open to receive the Word of God when you come in, right? So, first of all, God's a Spirit. And the only way that we can truly worship Him is if it's coming out of our spirit man. All right? So we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware that if I'm going to be pleasing to God and there's going to be blessing on my food and my water and He's going to take away all that sickness and disease from us, then I have to be aware that He's looking for true worshipers. Right? He said, there's a time coming. No, the time has now come, where He's looking for true worshipers who are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you know, He can see all the outside stuff, but He sees through. And He knows whether or not we're worshiping. I'm not saying that for condemnation. I'm saying we need to be aware more than anything. We need to be very unaware of anything around us or give a rip about what anybody around us might think. You know, people worry way too. We want people to love us and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to my relationship with God, I don't care what people think. I'm going to love my God, and I'm going to tell people about God, and I'm going to let that be a part of my life, and I'm not going to care what people think. You know, they can give me their opinion. I go, yeah, that's good. But it don't change my opinion. I mean, if it's truth, I want it. So if it's something that I need to know about or whatever. There's areas I need to change, and the Spirit will speak to me, and I will. Right? But when it comes to, I hear more people talking about what God can't do than I hear what He can do. I hear more about what people don't believe. Well, I tell you what, we just don't believe in that. And there's been times where I go, y'all don't, for believers, y'all don't believe much, do you? I mean, really. The Bible says that He saves. Doesn't it? Okay, but where can you say that God don't heal? And He quit healing. If you can't read the book and get that God doesn't heal anymore. You can't read the book and get that God doesn't deliver anymore. You can't read the book and get that God doesn't perform miracles and signs and wonders. I'm going to tell you what. There'll be a day where you're needing a miracle in your life, and you're needing a sign in your life, and you're needing a wonder in your life, and your heart's going to be changing real quick. But I tell you what, it's just like this. People will go, well, she's pregnant. So let's pray that it's a boy. Well, it is what it is. You should have prayed before they got pregnant. Right? Well, it's the same thing about healing and signs and wonders and miracles. We ought to be praying ahead of time. We ought to be confessing ahead of time. God, I know You're a God that heals. God, I know. Hey, when we're giving Him praise, we should say, I thank You that You're my Jehovah Rapha. You're my Jehovah Rapha. You're the Lord thy God that heals. He took the stripes to His back for my healing. By whose stripes we were healed. Acts 10:38. Took all our sickness and all our disease. And 3 John 2. And man, just scripture after scripture after scripture. How can you say? How can people say that God doesn't? In my worship, I'm going to be, that's what I'm doing. If I'm honoring Him because of who He is, I'm thanking Him that He's my healer. I'm thanking Him that He's my Jehovah Jireh, He's my provider. I'm thanking You that He's my Jehovah Shema, He's my God is there. Wherever I go, whatever I do, He's with me and in me, right? He's my Jehovah Nisi, He's my banner. You know what? When the enemy comes, he goes, uh-oh, that one's got a banner. That's Jesus is right there. Don't you want to live the kind of life that when you wake up in the morning, that the devil goes, oh, no, they're up. That's the kind of person I want to be. You know, He's my Jehovah Rohi. He's my shepherd, right? He's my Jehovah Makadesh. He's my sanctification. He's my Jehovah Sidkenu. He's my righteousness, right? He's my Jehovah Shalom. He's my peace that passes all understanding. You know what? When you start thanking Him for who He is and you begin to worship Him for who He is, all those things that I just said, God said, those are my names. In other words, He's saying, that's what I do. I make people right. I sanctify them. I'm there. I give them peace. I heal them. I provide for them. I'm their banner. Not only is the banner, and He says His banner over us is love, but it's also the anointing that destroys yokes and removes burdens. I'm the shepherd. I guide them and direct them. People go, well, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. Well, here's the good news. He's your Jehovah Rohi. He's your shepherd. Just do what you know what to do, and He'll get you there. Okay, worship Him from your heart and from your spirit, man. There's no other way to really worship Him. And you can't just come in and think that because, you know, you're kind of going through the motions and got a little charismatic jig going on and all that. You need to make the connection between your spirit, man, and what's really going on. That's when breakthrough comes. That's when chains are broken. That's when you shake off the, you know, we used to sing that song, shake off those heavy bands and lift up holy hands, because a bunch of people have been coming in and handcuffed and shackled their entire life because of what it is that God can't do, and everybody tells them how bad they are and they may not make it if they don't change. Well, listen, if you've given your heart to God and everything's under the blood and you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, which 2 Corinthians 5:21 says you are, then you know what? There's therefore now no condemnation for those who come to God. Whatever happened yesterday, wherever you blew it, just forget about that mess. Let that be back there. And you know what? You can't do nothing about that. But what you can do is what you do today and tomorrow and the next day. And if you mess up tomorrow, go, hey, good thing is that was yesterday. The great thing is today's today. I can start fresh today. And whatever it is, however I was messing up, whatever mistakes I made back then, it doesn't matter. But people will beat themselves up. I think it's interesting sometimes when Kim will make her comments. I put Joel Osteen on every Sunday morning. Kim likes Joel Osteen. But, you know, some of my kids are going, come on, Dad, not Joel. You know, they get in my truck and I got the preaching going. So they start that too. They want to watch ESPN or something. But I got Joel going. And this morning Joel was saying, if you're holding something, how do you say it, Kim? If somebody's still getting on your nerves 5 years later, you need to grow up. And Kim, I heard it and received it. Then again, I received that a long time ago. But Kim goes, did you hear what he said? He said, you know, and she even when Courtney and Brad came downstairs, she told them the same thing. She was telling them what Joel had said this morning. Well, you know what? That's true. How can you be allowing that to rub you wrong 5 years later? You know, hey, that's over. That's over. Just let that thing go. Move on. Don't let those people be affecting your life. There's some people that as long as you live, they'd get on your nerves if you let them. Because that's just how they are. And you know what? You can't change them. They obviously can't change it. Obviously, they know that people can't stand to be around them. Right? So if that's the case, just join in with the rest of the crowd and stay away. Just understand that's how it is. Love them from a distance. Be there for them. But some people have that personality. But remember, we're that personality to other people sometimes. You can go, well, I don't know why. I love me. I'm a good person. Hey, you can't explain why. Sometimes that's just the way it is. You can't explain it. It doesn't even matter why. Some people, you rub them the wrong way, and you could ask them why. They don't really have a valid good reason. They've just made that decision that you rubbed them the wrong way. If they tried to explain it, they couldn't. And you'd go, well, that just ain't right. Well, there's lots of things in the world that ain't right. This world is not perfect. But the good news is, you let that roll off your back and move on. I'd like them to like me, but it ain't necessary. It ain't necessary. Hey, we even got people that's close to us that we'd like them to like us a little bit more than they do. But it isn't necessary. We just say, I love them. Don't we, honey? I miss them, you know, and then Lord bring them right back into your life, loving and sweet and rejoicing. I'm addressing certain issues as I preach today. In the Gospel of John chapter 4, this passage that we read, God is telling the people, and he's telling us because it's for us too. He's telling the New Testament church that he's wanting to have more intimacy with his people. That's what worship is. Worship is intimacy with the Father. He wants our hearts more than he wants anything else. He's already told people throughout the scripture that he'd rather have their heart than sacrifice. That's what he wants, is our heart. If he has our heart, we'll sacrifice. But he desires our heart more than any of that. He desires our heart more than he desires our service. If you love God, that involves action. You're going to go do something. But he desires your heart more than he does your service. Some people start working and doing more of the work of the Lord than they're worshiping the Lord of the work. Because they've just lost it somewhere while they're doing what they're doing. But that's okay. Ask God to forgive you that the motivation wasn't pure. Start over fresh tomorrow. Do it a different way. He's not looking for worship as it is. He's looking for true worshipers. And a worshiper is somebody that lives worship. It's where worship is a lifestyle. We're grateful and thankful and appreciative, and we want to honor and respect and stand in awe of who God is. Amen? And we want to honor the things of God. He wants lives that have an attitude of worship in all that we do and in all that we say. I read this scripture to you not long ago, 2 Chronicles 16:9. It says this, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him." He says, "You have done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war." That's the second part. But here's the part that I want you to know. That the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to Him. In other words, that have true hearts of worship, who are seeking intimacy with the Father. Worship, what exactly does worship in spirit and in truth mean? It means that I have my heart involved. That's part of what it means. It means my heart's involved in what I'm doing. That just because somebody told me to raise my hands, I'm not raising my hands. But I'm so caught up with who God is that that's just something that happens. You know, the Bible says that He fills our cup to overflowing. You know, here's my cup, Lord, fill it up, Lord. Talking about it overflowing. Well, you know what? That we get so full of the presence of God that it overflows into our just doing something. Because of what God's done for us in our lives. It means to have our mind involved. It means that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's for us that have received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, who is the truth. And it's in accordance with God's Word, right? Our hearts need to be true towards God. And when I say pure, and you know, when I say live a clean life, you know what I mean. By living a clean life. A clean life is a pure life. That I have a heart after God and have a heart after the things of God. To live my life clean, do things the right way. Go to bed every night and sleep like a baby. By the way, don't be saying, you know, how many people do I see? When you get on Facebook, and let's say you get on it in the morning. When you first get on it, it has all the old posts, and they're up there first. So whatever people posted however many hours ago, that's what's always there first. And I don't know how many people on there every day go, well, another night without sleep. Another sleepless night. Insomnia is a... Yeah. You know. They're making all these comments, but you know what? The Bible says that He gives His beloved rest. And I can tell you right now, I can be sitting on the couch. If I get in the right position, Kim will be talking to me. And when I wake up, I look and I'm getting that, we call it the fern eye because that's the look her mother gives you. Giving you that. And I go, now look, you can't get, I don't even say that. I go, you can't get mad at a man who was so tired he just fell. She goes, but I was talking to you. I go, you can't help it when it happens. It just happens. Sometimes I'm sitting there on my computer and I go, then somebody will say something and I'll go. Of course, I've never typed that fast. I'm really going. I didn't feel the need for typing in school, and we didn't have computer classes back then. But you know, I sleep like that. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter what. Matter of fact, I can be in an airport and know I'm going to get held over, and I'm going to go lay on the floor, and I'm nervous that I'm not going to wake up when they call, because that's how I can sleep like that. you know, I just got to trust that God's going to get me up. I ain't figured up how to set the alarm. I've accidentally set the alarm on my phone, but I ain't never done it on purpose. And Kim goes, what's the alarm doing going off at 5 in the morning? I go, like I know. I can't even set the alarm at our house. Kim has to do that. You know, there, he gives his beloved rest. That's a part of it. We need to say what the Word says, not what we're experiencing, not what we're going through. It hurts every time I do that. Well, number one, don't do that. And number two, say, Father, I thank you that that thing's healed. And go, that thing is healed in Jesus' name. By the stripes Jesus took to his back, I'm healed. Don't go, oh my God, it kills me. Now, you going to let a shoulder kill you? And my mom goes, I tell you what, that person just kills me. I go, they kill you. She goes, oh, shut up. Can't say nothing. And I'm going, just trying to keep you alive as long as we can. You know, we love you. We don't want you to talk all that death into your life. But that gets on her nerves. If we worship in spirit and in truth, then we're not going to be hypocritical. And, you know, some people go, well, I'm not going. Some people have this edge on them. And they go, well, I'm not going to do that. That would be hypocrite. I'm not going to go to the church because that church is just full of a bunch of hypocrites. Well, listen, first of all, hypocrites need to start somewhere. Church would be a good start. All right? Second of all, it doesn't matter what their motivation for being there. You're there. Your motivation needs to be that you're there for the right reason. If you are worshiping in spirit and in truth, you can't be hypocritical. And you know, there's some things that you can do for some people, and it wouldn't make them happy. No matter how much they said they wanted you to do something or they felt like you ought to do something, if you did that, some people will come in and say, well, I want to give them a piece of my mind. Well, at least one person will feel better afterwards. The person that they gave a piece of their mind to don't feel any better. So what was their motivation? I just think they ought to know how it is. You know? Hey, really? Is that, I've gotten to where I've terminated revenue, because that's what I do, is I'll have patients that call and they're nasty with my staff and everything else. I had a guy call me the other day. And he goes, you come pick up your blankety blank chair. And he goes, on second thought, possession's 9/10 of the law. He goes, you do whatever you got to do legally to get it. And I go, well, sir, I called to help you. I didn't call to hurt you. I go, I'll just send you to collections. I ain't fighting with you. And he goes, you do whatever you got to do. I go, I will. And he goes, well, I tell you what. He goes, I want you to go build you a big pile of and go jump in it, and boom, hangs up. I go, well, praise the Lord, he was having a good day, wasn't he? You know, some people, it doesn't matter. There's nothing you can do to help. I was going to help this man. I was trying to help him, but he wouldn't let me help him. So as soon as I got off the phone, I go, okay, document what the guy said. Casey, send him to collections today. I'm not going to argue and fight with him. That's, if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, I'm not a good steward of what God's given me and the resources and the people that he's given me to be responsible for and all. I got to do what God tells me to do. And it can't be hypocritical. You know, we just need to love people. And, you know, I have this conversation with Courtney a lot, but Courtney will say, well, I tell you what, that person, and I keep on saying, Courtney, isn't it a great thing that that's none of our business? That is none of our business. So the good news is that is one less thing you have to be concerned about. Because, you know, what that person does doesn't affect your life one way or the other. So why bring it up? I go, Courtney, you would have nothing to be concerned about if you just was concerned about your stuff. Now, I'm using Courtney, but we could all take a look there and say, because we'll say, well, do you know what they did? Do you know what they said? Do you know what they eat? And in my case, do you know what everybody at my house don't eat? You know, we don't eat a lot of greens at my house. You know why? Because because my wife don't eat them. If she don't eat them, she ain't going to make them. So if I get greens, it's either at Mama's or Cracker Barrel. I have to make a Cracker Barrel stop to get me some turnip greens. Now, she has made me some cabbage, but I used to have to go to Mama's to get a corned beef and cabbage. Because she goes, that just stinks the whole house up. I go, put a little vanilla extract in the pot and boil it. She goes, it still gets all throughout the house. How could anybody eat something that stinks that bad? Now she eats it. Maybe if she's to try her collard green, she'd like that too. With some pinto beans and a ham. I better close. Some cornbread. I was in the Marines before I found out I'd been raised on soul food my whole life. We have to go to Mom and Them's, ain't we, Malika? True worship, you know, invites the presence of, 'cause, you know, there's a cleansing that happens when the Holy Spirit fills the place. There's a cleansing that happens in the spirit realm that we all need. We need that cleansing. You know, we need to have those times where we've touched the heart of God to the point, and yes, men can cry. There's nothing wrong with a man crying. I don't just break out, in tears all the time. Kim wants me to. She thinks when she watches the Notebook and Fried Green Tomatoes and Julia Roberts die for the 427th time in whatever movie that is, she thinks that she wants me to cry so bad about that she'll go, I heard you make that noise. What noise? You whenever something's really touching you, you go,
No, it's really little.
It's really little. Yeah, she said that's just so people think you have a heart. That's what she said. just enough so I think you might have a heart. Amen. Our worship is no higher than our knowledge of God, and worship flows out of our relationship of God. True worshipers, a true worshiper is the opposite of a fake worshiper or a false worshiper. Hey, why do you think when people go before the judge and say, but I've received Jesus and my life has changed? Everybody goes before a judge says that. They all of a sudden found Jesus. Right? If somebody goes, look, judge, I'm sorry. Always been sorry. You know, my daddy was sorry. My granddaddy was sorry. I'm probably going to be sorry. The judge would probably go, you know, you're the first person I've ever had say that. Because everybody comes in, hey, you know, they've done gone up the street and robbed everything there and done all this crazy stuff. And they go, but I found Jesus. But they found Jesus the last time they'd robbed the whole street, you know. But see, God distinguishes. You can say that to the judge or people or whatever. But, you know, by their fruit, you shall know them. Not just because, and fruit's not just what you say. Fruit is evidenced by your life and how you live your life and what you're doing. That's somebody that you can tell if they're a true worshiper or not. You can tell there's something about their countenance that's changed. You know, they used to be all negative. They used to be, you know, whatever they could do to get over on people, and now they've got a change about them. There's a change in their spirit. There's a change on their face. There's a change about the things that they're after and things that they want to do. That's how, by their fruit, you'll know them. You can tell. You don't have to tell people that you've changed. They'll see it. They'll go, wow, what happened to them? Right? That's a good thing. We might think, well, now everybody's going to think, well, I hope they do. You know, it'd be nice that everybody's evidenced the change that I'm trying to let everybody know that's occurred. And you can say it all you want to, but people are going to be able to tell by your life how you act, how you live, by what you do. Doesn't matter what you did yesterday. God used some people that used to be rascals. You know, Paul, you know, was going around, he was a Christian killer. God used him. Right? God will use us. Opposite of false worship, in spirit. Instead of going to a certain place, we worship Him in spirit, wherever we are. Unobstructed access to the throne 24/7. Doesn't matter where we are, what we're doing, We're in the presence of God because He's in us. In truth, is opposite of some big ceremony and pomp and circumstance and all of that. It's that what comes out of me. See, really, we should be able to go anywhere and do anything and be able to worship, and anything that's going on around me shouldn't bother me. Now listen, I've gone into places where when you walk in, you can feel evil. Your spirit's going, wow. You just feel it like come on you. But you know what you do? You just start inside of yourself thanking God, you know, for who He is, and you worship Him and all that kind of stuff, and it won't matter about all that mess. And not only will God deliver you out of the place, but they'll probably ask you to leave because they feel so weird. Right? Which is preferable. You know, Christians ain't chickens either. He gave us wisdom. But that means that we ain't afraid. Hey, you know, contrary to what people have said through the years, God has more power than the devil. God is omnipresent. The devil is not. God is all-powerful. The devil is not. The only way He can attack you is in your head. Now, He can attack your body, but the very next thing that happens is the head. Matthew 15, He says, these people honor Me with their lips, but their hearts are far from Me. So, who can worship God? Whoever's called on the name of the Lord. Who's ever received Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. How do you know that you're saved? I confess with my mouth and I believed in my heart on the Lord Jesus. That's how I know I'm saved. So if you've done that, you can know that you're saved. But He said, you know what? We have to not just confess, but the Bible says if we don't live for Him after we've done that, then our belief is in vain. Because if you really have done something and you really believe in something, then you'll do it. Right? So we need to think about that. We say God heals. Okay. What do you really believe? Whatever it is you really believe is what you're talking. Whatever we really believe is what's coming out of our mouth. About healing, about our standing with God, about the promises of God, forget not all His benefits. You know, there's all kinds of benefits to serving God. So, well, that's just getting rid of all that mess that was causing her to be sick. That's somebody's in there, I think, is what happened. Where can we worship God? We can worship God. It doesn't have to be in a certain place. We worship Him in spirit, and we worship Him in truth. When? Well, look with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Just wouldn't have been church unless Jackie dropped something, would it? look at 21. And going on from thence, He saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and He called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought the sick unto Him, and they were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils. I'm in the wrong place. Try Matthew 4:10. Then saith Jesus unto them, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. So, we're to worship the Lord anytime. We're to worship the Lord anywhere. And the first priority is to be at the foot of Jesus and to serve Him and worship Him. You know, we need to make sure that we don't get in a hurry and that we don't neglect Him. And, you know, you can have a great service and all that kind of stuff, And all these things happened in the service and still have not worshiped God. You know, worshiping God is something that you purpose, that you decide to do. And you can have all kinds of amazing things going on around you, and you still have not entered in. Or I'm not saying that you have not, but maybe not. You may not have entered in yourself. That's a choice that you make. So, what are the attitudes and qualities that characterize worshipers? What attitudes should we have? Number one, we should give everything that we've got. Not to hold back anything. That when we come, that we're giving and we're surrendering all. We need to have a preoccupation with God. I need to be preoccupied not with what's going to happen on the job and, you know, my Lord, what am I going to do about these kids or anything else but God. Be preoccupied with God. If you're preoccupied with God, you're not going to live in worry. You're not going to live in fear. You're not going to live in doubt. If you're preoccupied with God, you're just going to be preoccupied with the things of God, and you're going to know what God does. And then you're not going to live in fear, doubt, and worry. You're going to lean on Him and trust on Him. There's a word that we used when I was in the Marine Corps, and it was called fidelity. You know, we need to have fidelity towards God, which means that there's a loyalty and there's a faithfulness towards God. You know, if we'll just be faithful to God and we'll be faithful to the things of God, you know, the other stuff will fall in place. All we have to do is show ourselves faithful. If I'm going to show myself faithful to God, then I'm not going to be not faithful to my spouse. I'm not going to not be faithful to my friends. If I'm really going to be faithful to God and I'm having that kind of relationship with God, then all my other relationships are going to be right, because He's going to honor the fact that I've been faithful to Him. And I'm going to be thinking on the right things. A trust, a reliance, a confidence, a love, pure worship, and not selfish. And the last part of that is, and I'll finish with this morning too, is humble. What the world has taught us, and even some of the church has taught us for years, is a false definition of what humility is. People will teach that being humble is that you sit there and just take anything anybody does and take anything that anybody says, and when it happens to you, you go, "Oh, I just have to take the good with the bad. If God's going to give me the good, I've got to take the bad that comes with it." Well, first of all, God didn't give you bad. God gave you good. If you got bad, that wasn't God's plan. He ain't trying to teach you nothing with that. Sometimes in this world, we will have trouble. Sometimes things happen. The enemy stirs it up. And no, I'm not about to take the bad with the good. I'm about to take the bad when the enemy hits me with it, and I'm going to say, "You know what? I trust in my God, who said He'd meet all my need according to His riches and glory. And greater is He that's in me than he that's in this world. And enemy, you're a liar, and you ain't going to win this one. And I will have victory, and I will overcome, and I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit." And that's what the Word says. But people go, "Oh, Lord, I'm going to take the good with the bad. Aren't I a good little Christian person?" Well, listen, you know, they don't mean bad when they say that. That's what they've been taught humility is. But that's not what humility is. Humility is that I do what the Word of God says to do. That's humility. And I've told you before, I used to hear Kenneth Copeland preach, and I'd go, "Man, I just don't like that guy. He's cocky." You know? And then I started getting into this Word of Faith thing, and I started hearing what he was saying, and and started listening to what it's saying. I wasn't. Remember, I talked about us having favorites and styles we like and styles we don't like. And I thought, man, he's awful cocky about stuff like that. Hey, don't ever say something like that, my Lord. You know, some of the stuff that he said was so strong. And then when I started getting word of faith, I started understanding. All he's saying is what God said is his. All he's saying is what God will do for him and how much he believes that God will do that for him. And now I love to hear him preach. And I love to, you know, I love to hear a bunch of people preach till they start preaching about what they don't believe. Then I don't want to hear that anymore. All right? But I love the things of God. Humility is simply obeying what the Word of God says we're supposed to do. That is simple, pure humility at its best. And it's not that we crawl on a worm, like a worm on our belly, and tell people how unworthy we are, that God would do anything like that for us. See, that's the part that I didn't get. The part that I didn't get was that God promised me all the good stuff. And if it's good, it comes from God. And if it isn't good, it ain't God. And if it ain't good, I don't have to have it. You know, I can set my foot down, so to speak, in the spirit, draw a line in the sand in the spirit, and say, enemy, you're not going to do that to me. I ain't receiving it. You ain't going to keep me down. I'm going to win. You can try. You can throw all of hell at me. But you are not going to win, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. People go, that ain't very humble. In God's eyes, it's humble, because that's what his word says. Nowhere in the word does it say that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. People go, well, you know, because it doesn't it sound like kumbaya and we are the world, we are the children, to say that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. You know, it makes you feel good. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, I used to be a sinner. Now I'm saved by grace. There's a difference. I don't sin every day. I've blown it before, and I asked God to forgive me. But I don't have to sin every day. I don't have to sin every week. Don't have to sin. You know, you don't have to sin every day. I used to be a sinner. Now I seek after other things. Now I'm saved by grace. That's humility. That's what the Bible says. But if you listen to that other stuff, that's what they say. That's what they preach. But you know what? That's what they've been taught. But it isn't Bible. It isn't Bible. We need to realize who we are. We need to realize who God is. And we need to put ourselves in a position to acknowledge and to submit to him and depend on him. And the real essence of our worship centers in on our giving ourselves over to the things of God and to the Word of God. When we're worshiping, we're recognizing our total dependence and our total everything that we have on Him. The Word says in Matthew 15:25, then came she and worshiped, knelt before Him, saying, Lord, help me. Remember the story of Mary and Martha. Jesus is going to go over to Lazarus and Mary and Martha's house. Mary's at the foot of Jesus. She's at his feet worshiping him. And Martha was one of them. Well, we've got company coming over. We need to. And she's running all around the house, making sure everything's just perfect. Put this here and put that there and make sure we get. Now, Mary ain't doing that. She's sitting at the feet of Jesus. I heard a preacher say one time, Martha was the kind of person that if you spent the night at her house, if you got up to use the bathroom, when you went back, your bed was made. You know, that's Martha. Right? And Martha goes, Jesus, don't you see me running around like this? Don't you see me trying to get everything ready for the people? And Mary's just sitting, she's going to complain to Jesus that her sister is at his feet worshiping. And what did Jesus say? He said, Martha, Martha, oh, you're worried about many things, but only one thing is needed. And nobody's going to, Butch version, and nobody's going to rob Mary of it. She was at the feet of Jesus. And you know, I've learned that if we'll take the time and have that kind of relationship with him, we'll say, I just don't have time. I just don't know when I'm going to find the time to get all that in my day. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you'll start your day acknowledging relationship with him and spending that time with him, the rest of the day goes a whole lot better. I can promise you that. It'll go a whole lot better. Amen? So we're getting rid of that carpet anyhow, Stephen. Don't worry about it. I mean, you know, do what you can do to preserve until that time. But we're getting rid of it anyhow. So the more we become self-sufficient, the less we're going to worship, because we think we can do it. Like those pastors that I've told you, let me take the offering. In other words, I can manipulate the people. I know how to take an offering. Well, it's not about manipulating the people. That's the wrong heart. Or I can do that just because I'm talented. You've had Pastor Philip come here and preach for you before, and he goes into Pastor Callahan when he first gets saved. He goes, you know that stuff you get up there on stage and do? He goes, you mean preach? Philip goes, yeah. He goes, I can do that. He just got saved, man. He was selling weed yesterday, and tomorrow he's telling Pastor Callahan, you know that thing you're doing up there? I can do that. And Pastor Callahan looked at him with just the straightest face he could, and he looked at him. And Philip ain't used to that. He wasn't used to people telling him that. And Pastor Callahan looked at him and said, don't. Don't. And then Philip walks out of there and goes, now, God, you're telling me to grab a hold of that man's coattails? He ain't even cool. He ain't got long hair. He's conservative. That is not what I'm looking for. And God said, whatever that man tells you to do, you do it. You grab a hold of his coattails and do not let go. See, Philip thought he was cool. And because he's cool, he wants a cool pastor. But Philip didn't need a cool pastor. Philip needed Pastor Callahan, is what Philip needed. Because you know what? Pastor Callahan got saved when he was 5 years old. He ain't been out there and done all that stuff. He's surrounded by a bunch of people like me and Philip that live like that. But he didn't. But you know what? He's so full of the word, he don't mind telling you, don't. He don't mind saying, by the authority of what the word says, absolutely do not do that. He said, you need to get grounded in the word. And if I were to put you out there right now, you would fail. I want to set you up to win. So get in here, get under the word. He was a musician. Pastor Callahan goes, no, you ain't getting on that stage. Because, you know, I got to know those that labor among me. Therefore, I'm going to see who you are and what you're about and whether or not you're going to stick and how faithful you are before I put you in a position. A lot of churches mess up because they come over here and they go, they went to Benny Hinn's church. Well, let's make them Sunday school superintendent, bless God, if they went to school. It could have been the biggest sinner in Benny Hinn's church, but he went there. And because they know Benny Hinn, he ought to be the guy. That ain't the way it works, y'all. God sees the heart. And he gives us the word that tells us. He's setting us up for success if we'll just do what the word says. That's humility, and that needs to be our heart. Amen. Stand with me this morning. That help you?